Go ahead and jump into the message here. And we're starting a new series here today called Incredible God Deserves Incredible Praise. And so I mentioned last week how this is really a message that's targeted to a praise and worship team in some ways. I'm kind of letting you in my meeting into the praise and worship team. But it's not really, we are the praise and worship team here on Sunday mornings. And so we are the ones that are coming to worship and to praise God. And, you know, this is something that God wants us to be doing. And so I really want to encourage you guys at the end of the message here during the reflect time. You know, I didn't hear too much of this here in some of the testimonies, but what is God speaking to you and what are you doing from what he's speaking to you? So what is he speaking to you and what are you doing from what he's speaking to you? Again, we want to activate our faith. And activate what he's speaking to us to be doing here. So, look, this message has a very relevant way that we can be putting into practice, but I want you to hear God, what he wants you to be doing from it, okay? So, incredible God deserves incredible praise. I think this is something that we all know. I think we all know logically and in our minds how incredible God is. I think we understand that he is a big God. He is an amazing God. We understand that he is beyond our fathom, beyond our understanding. We understand that he is huge and enormous and omnipotent, omniscient, all these big words. We understand that God is like that. However, to give God the kind of praise that he deserves, man, that kind of goes beyond us. And so, it's like something we don't even necessarily try to do. It's almost like too much. However, I'm reminded when Jesus came down the road to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden the people started singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, and they started putting the palm branches down when he was coming in with the donkey, and they were shouting, Hosanna, shouting at the top of their lungs, Hosanna, Hosanna. And you know, Jesus said at that point, respond to someone that if they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. At the rocks itself, that earth itself, and there's another scripture that talks about that, earth itself is waiting and groaning for the sons of God to be manifesting. And so there's another scripture that says that he is looking for worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. And in order to truly worship God the way, or to praise God the way that he deserves, we need to be in him. We need to be in the spirit. We need to be, it says, those that worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? And it says that the earth is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to be manifesting, sons and daughters, that includes us. And that basically means we need to be rising up in our spirit, man. That's where we are, the son and daughter of God. It's within us, in our spirit. When we are born again, we are born again as a son and daughter of God. Okay? And we come into this kingdom and this family with him, and God wants that worship. God wants that praise that comes only from that place. But here's the thing, it's really hard to get there. I don't know about you, but I didn't feel like praising God this morning. There's some times I come into worship, I didn't feel like praising God. Here we're singing these songs. Here my iPad doesn't feel like staying with me this morning either. So, what? Anyway, so there's times we don't feel like praising God. And I understand that we come, man, how about we're singing these songs here, Overcome. You know, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We're singing about hallelujah because he has overcome. Well, let's just take a moment here. We just came through a hard week, right? Some of you were moving. Some of you have been dealing with financial issues. Some of you have been dealing with long work hours. Some of you have been dealing with issues at the house, dealing with kids and all this stuff. How does this Overcome song apply to you? Were you able to connect with it this morning? Were you able to really sing it from your heart straight to God this morning? Let me say this. We know, yes, God, we know you overcame, but is your heart connected? Do we really understand? Can we really sing that from a genuine place in our heart? Or is it just, yeah, God, you overcome. I have to do this because I know this is who you are. This is what you've done, but we're not feeling it. Now, feelings are not everything, okay? They're not everything. You don't have to just do something because you feel it. Sometimes you have to press through to get to the feeling. All right, but I say sometimes like this, you know, it's like sometimes in a marriage relationship, sometimes you don't feel the love. Sometimes it's not there. And sometimes you got to come and you got to begin working that love that is there. Here's the thing. You love your family. You love your spouse. You love your significant other. There's a love in there, but sometimes there's some dirt that gets on top. And we need to get rid of that dirt sometimes, and that requires some digging in order for that love or that oil to be coming up and coming up again the way it's meant to. So let me stop right here, because the Bible even says, we talked about this, that not even to come to God with offerings unless you work that with your brother if you have something against them. If you hate your brother, if you have something against your brother, to work it out with him. Some of you have this problem in your own house. In our own houses, we have this problem. Sabre and I, sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes we have arguments. You know, and so we have to work it out, and we have to get on the other side of things, right? And so same thing with each and every one of us. Look, and I say this because I'm going to bring this back to God. You ever been in the house with somebody, yet you couldn't feel further apart from them? I mean, you ever lived with somebody and you felt so far away from them? You felt closer to someone in India or someone in California closer than you did the person you're living in your own house? Anybody understand that feeling? Where you can be right next to somebody, but you don't feel any connection with them. Here's the thing, this is what happens with God a lot of times. And even though we know, yes, we're in a relationship with God, we know that we are His children, yet sometimes we can feel so far apart from God. And then we hear this stuff that talks about, let's praise and worship God. Yeah, I know you're great, but I don't feel that you're great right now, God. You know what I'm saying? Are you here with me, guys? You just don't feel that great, you know? You're supposed to love your spouse. You're supposed to love your family. But sometimes you just don't want to love your family, right? Because something is in between. You don't know what it is, but it feels like a huge distance in between. And you cannot relate. You cannot put everything behind it. So it seems like you're faking it. Even though you know it's true, you know it's not coming from your heart. But here's the thing. You love God. You truly do love God. There is truly, you love your family that you're not talking with right now. But there's something standing in between. So I want to talk about some of these steps here that I want to recommend for us to be going through to get into that true worship, get into true thanksgiving. And so there's a scripture here that I want to read in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. Through 3, I just have verse 3 in New Version, but it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Verse 3, this is the verse I'm really centering on for these next two messages. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So today we're going to talk about and focus on magnification. Next week we're going to talk about exaltation. And we're going to talk about what that means here for a second. So let's just go into this. I'm going to backtrack and connect what I'm saying here in a minute. So magnify. The word magnify, the definition means to make something greater, to make something seem greater, more important than it is, to make something appear larger, to appear larger. And so here's the thing. God is already larger than what you can ever imagine. God is already bigger, more incredible than you can ever imagine. So I've heard this saying before that we want to magnify God, not like a microscope, but like a telescope. Can you guys say telescope with me this morning? Telescope. We want to magnify God like a telescope, not a microscope. A microscope, we're examining something, taking it apart. But we need to be in awe of God and realize, you know, a microscope makes something small really big, right? So it does have the magnification process, but it makes something that's really tiny that we usually can't see. We make it big. Here's the thing. That if you go look in, you can't see Jupiter right now. You can't see really all the stars, all the planets, but with a telescope, you can see things you couldn't see before. So that's why I like this saying that we want to have a telescope because God's really bigger than we can imagine. He's bigger, and we need to look and have an awe of who He is. But again, we need to have that picture. I'm reminded of David, and I have the scripture in your version notes. But I remember David. David was someone that was known for crazy praise. Crazy praise. I mean, this guy went nuts praising God. He didn't have, the tabernacle, which represented the presence of God, was not there, was not in Jerusalem. And so he got dismayed. He tried to bring it in one time Jerusalem, and it didn't make it. He messed up. He did it the wrong way, and he left it at someone's house. But then he heard the presence of God was thriving and bringing that house into prosperity. And so he got excited, knowing, okay, so he did it the right way this time. And his heart was filled with gladness when he realized that he was going to be able to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And it said that he began on the way down to Jerusalem, that he began leaping, he began turning with joy. I mean, he disrobed, not naked, but he disrobed his regular royal garments, and he was leaping and twirling and whirling. It says furiously, the way if you look at it in there, he was furiously dancing and praising God. He gave God a crazy praise. He was so excited about the presence of God, that all of a sudden his wife saw him from the window. And his wife said, who do you think you are? Look at the king in all his glory, dancing and leaping around like some fool. All right? I'm giving a paraphrase, right? This is basically what she said. And David was like dumbfounded by this. You know, first of all, he's the king. You know, come on, what are you doing? Tearing him apart like this. But then he said, you know what? I will be even more undignified than this. And that's a famous saying that David said, I will be even more undignified, because he had a telescope vision of God. He began magnifying God in a way that all of a sudden he was beside himself. He did not care what he looked like. In fact, he said, I will look even crazier for my God.
I will look even crazier for my God. And when you think about it, we all love God. When we have been in connection with God, we understand that relationship. Whenever you've been in love, if the first time you fell in love with God, you had this love that just poured out. You couldn't keep it back. I love you, God. Man, you just want to pour out at him, and you're just beside yourself. Whenever you fall in love, you're a little bit beside yourself. You seem like you go a little bit overboard sometimes. But it doesn't matter. You don't care. You just love. The same thing with God. We love God, but I'm not talking about love. These are praising him. But we want to glorify him. We want to speak his praises out, how great and everything that he's done. So we want to be talking like that. We want to be magnifying God. We magnify our problems a bit too much. Usually we talk about our problems. Here what happens is our problems become magnified instead of God. And so point number one is that we need to get God in our line of sight. God in our, if you're taking notes, write this down. We need to get God in our line of sight, number one, okay? Because what happens, we have so many other things in our line of sight. Okay, right now I have Joe in my line of sight. I have Brianna, I have Richard, I have Debbie. I have whoever else is sleeping. I'm going to have you in my line of sight. No, these guys weren't sleeping, but I'm going to have you in my line of sight, okay? And you're in my line of sight. We want to get God in our line of sight. We want to have him before us, right? Because we have so many problems that tried to grab our sight. And when those problems try to come, guess what? They begin getting magnified. The further we stare, let me say this. When you stare at something, you're drawn to it. You get closer to it. Let me say it again. Whenever you stare at something spiritually in your mind, you're getting closer to it. You're getting closer. You're moving towards it whether you realize it or not. Okay? It's a bit hard to look this way and walk this way. Usually, wherever we're walking to, that's what we're looking at. Okay? So what we need to make sure our eyes are turned the right direction. So what's in your line of sight? Are your problems in your line of sight? Then guess what? That's probably what's getting magnified right now in your heart and mind. That's probably what's getting, is there a problem? Is there someone that you're mad at right now and that you can't stop thinking about? Then that's probably what's getting magnified in your line of sight right now, because that's what's in your line of sight. So number one, we need to get him in our line of sight. We need to get God in our line of sight. He needs to be our main attraction. We need to look at him. So when we come here Sunday morning, praise and worship team, Allentown Victory, number one, we need to get God in our line of sight. Be like, I don't want to. Well, this is the next point, okay? But first we need to start out with this. Let's go back to this reference. You have someone in your house and you feel distant from them. The only way you are going to reconcile with them is if you talk with them. And that starts out by getting in their presence. That starts out by getting them in your line of sight. If you don't get them in your line of sight, then things aren't going to work out. Yes, you can be a smart aleck and say, call them on the phone, okay? But don't get me wrong, you need to get in connection with them somehow. You're not going to be able to reconcile a difference with someone in your house unless they're in your line of sight. So number one, get them in your line of sight. Get God in your line of sight. Number two, get real. Number two, get real. You know, when I look at the Psalms of David, I see someone who's bipolar. Anyone here? No, don't raise your hand if you're bipolar. You'll be raising it up and down. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Anyway, so bipolar. I see someone that seems like they're bipolar because at first he's like so sad, like, oh, my heart, I'm so downcast, oh, my soul. But yet I don't praise him, but yet things are difficult. You know, he goes up and down in the Psalms. This is why so many people relate to the Psalms so much, because we see the heart of David. We see him go up and down. We see his heart, but usually he always ends up. He always ends focusing back and praising God. David was known as the praiser. He was a praise and worshiper. And so we can take a look at the Psalms. And if you see, David gets real with God. He tells God what's going on in his heart. Look, if you want to get close to God and truly praise him, like you know you were made to, you were created to praise God, we need to get real with God. We need to get the elephant out of the room. That's the deal, right? Because guess what? Your real heart can't really praise God if you're not dealing with the real issues between you and him. Let me say it again. Your real heart cannot get real with the real God unless you deal with the real issues that are between you and him. Same thing with someone in your house. So we need to get real. And I'm not talking about us starting to cuss out God and get all mad because of that. Look, let me say this. You can sin. You can go do something crazy right now. You can get mad at God. I just want us to recognize something. That, you know, when we start doing that to God, I've heard people say, God's a big boy. He can take it when I'm mad at him. You're right, he can take it, but it's still sin. All right? Let's just clarify this. When you start getting mad, start cussing out God and doing this and getting all mad, I've heard people say and justify, look, you can talk to God as a friend. You can tell him, look, this really upsets me, God. Don't worry. You can talk to God. But when you start getting outlandish and start talking to God and all this stuff, yeah, he can take it, But let me just come back around that. You should also repent from that once your heart gets softened again. All right? You should also repent and say, Lord, forgive me for talking to you like that. Yes, he can take it. Yes, he's a big boy, but yet it's still sin, and sin separates us from God. And so when we get into this anger, rage, just like it would be sin to do it to somebody else, it's not about somebody else. It's about you. It's about our heart. Anyway, it's a little bit off track, but getting back on track, we need to get real with God, though, and we need to talk about the issues. And that first starts by looking at him. You know, here's the thing. If I were to bring up someone you're offended at right now, we talked about forgiveness a couple weeks ago. If I were to bring it up, you can remember the things they've done wrong. And sometimes with God, we don't look at it, but if we start staring at God long enough, you're going to remember the things that, why you don't want to praise. And just think about this. Come to the presence of God and say, okay, God, I want to praise you. And then you might find that this is really tough. This is really tough. God, because here's what happens. We are most likely blaming God for something going on in our life right now that's not comfortable. We are most likely saying, God, this is your fault right now. This is you, and therefore, we don't want to praise him. We don't want, because we're blaming him, and we're saying, this is God, you've done this. Or perhaps we've done something wrong, and we've known it, and we don't want to get real with it. We don't want to get real with what we have done wrong. We have messed up, we have sinned, and we just assume that God is going to remain angry with us, and we don't want to even praise God, because now we're mad at God because we think he doesn't accept us. We think he doesn't love us. We need to start out by getting real. What's the elephant in the room? What is causing this awkwardness between me and God? What's causing this thing? And look, this is, forget praise for a second. This is just simply how you connect with God. Right here, these first few steps are simply how you connect, how we connect with God. If you really want to connect with God. I'm not just talking about lip service. I'm not just talking about this fake Christianity stuff. I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about really connecting with him. You need to get real with him. We need to get real and say, God, I'm having this issue right now. I didn't like how this went down right here. Or say, God, I've messed up and I really am afraid to come to you right now, Lord. I'm afraid that you're going to get mad at me. Or God, I'm afraid that you're going to tell me not to do this anymore. And I really like doing this sin. I really like going. In fact, God, I don't think it's even a sin anymore. This is what society, let me tell you, culture is pushing this hardcore. Culture wants to tell you that what's sin is not sin. You look on TV. TV is going to tell you, let me point blank, let me say this as absolute as I absolutely can, that TV and media are going to tell you that sin is not sin. And it's going to tell you, no, don't worry about it. This is not sin. This is fine. Culture will accept a lot of things that God will not. God will not, okay? But he does accept you. He does welcome you in there. Sometimes we don't want to come to God because we have another lover on the side. That's an ouch statement if we're listening and paying attention. We might have zoned out because maybe you're mad at me right now. I don't know. But sometimes we don't want to come to God because we have another lover on the side. I'm not talking in another way. Like, there's kids here, so I'm not going to go explicit. Right? But I'm talking perhaps our heart and this affection is maybe we're tied to money, tied to our job. And we're giving time and money, and we're giving all this to something else, and we're not giving it to God. All of a sudden, our heart is tied to our going here, to doing this, to being with this person, and God is no longer really in our picture anymore, no longer the center. We need to get real with God and say, God, look, I have this going on, God. And here's the thing, when you come to God, if God has something for you to do, if God wants you to give something up, here's what I want to encourage you, point blank, he will help you to do it. He doesn't just say do something without equipping you with the power to do it. And let me go back and track this. We might have an actual physical lover that is taking the place of what God needs to be in our life, and we need to come to God with that. Say, God, here this is. Please help me with this. But guess what? He'll help you. Some of you are like, I don't want to do this. Well, that's because you haven't experienced the power to let go of it yet. We haven't experienced the power to let go of these sins yet. Let me tell you, there's power to let go of sin in our life. There is power there. But first, we need to be humble enough and get real with also who we are and who God is. That we are man. We are human. We are clay. God is incredible. This getting real requires humility as well. Because if you think you're as big as the planet Jupiter, then we're in trouble. If you think you're as big as God is, then we're in a little bit of trouble. It requires a little bit of humility and realizing, I'm down here on earth. You, God, are everywhere. God, you are greater than I. And God, if you want something, I want to follow you and do what you've asked. Look, this is what's really in our heart. But then what happens is something gets in the way. Our own desires get in the way of the true desire that's in our heart. So we need to get real and say, God, no, you are greater than I. Yes, God, I realize that you might want me to get rid of this, and talk to God. Tell God how hard of a time you're having with it. That's not sin to tell God, God, I'm struggling with this. God, I really don't want to do this. Because here's a promise in the Bible that God says that he will give you the will and to do of his good pleasure. God will give you the will and to do of His good pleasure if you want God. God is in the business of changing your life, not just patting you on the back as you follow along in your life of happiness. Okay? The goal is not to pursue happiness. The goal is to pursue Him. And His, when He's happy, I get happy. It's like if you have a child, when you see your child smile, how much does that make you smile? How much does that make you smile? I mean, I get elated when I see my kids smile and I see my kids laugh. But same thing with my Father God. When I see my God smile, when I can sense His pleasure, when I can sense, man, I know this pleased Him. I know this was hard. I know He knew how hard it was for me. And I did it, and I thank You, Lord. I can sense His pleasure. I can sense His pleasure. God wants to give you and equip you with that as well, to where you are happy when God's happy. And you sense that joy. But this requires connection, closeness. So look, let's get back to getting real. Let's get real with God. There might be something sitting in the way, but let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. Let's talk to God about it. Say, God, this is in the way right now, Lord. This is in the way. My job is in the way. Perhaps my family. Perhaps this. Doesn't mean you're getting rid of your job. Doesn't mean you're getting rid of your family. It just means we're reprioritizing. Say, God, there's something that I have put in between You and me. There's something that I have blamed You for that is now in between You and me. And we need to deal with this elephant, God, and You begin communication. Number two, step two, or step three, forgive me. Step one is get in the line of sight. Number two, get real. Number three is get forgiven. Get forgiven. He forgives you if you want it. And here's the thing. We can't get real if we don't understand that we need to be forgiven. Sometimes we come to God with this pious attitude and say, God, no, this is Your fault. This is God, no, You've done this, You've done that, this is all Your fault. And we need to realize, look, we need to be getting forgiven. No, look, this sin, if God calls it sin, it's sin. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Simply put, we cannot convince God that what He calls sin is not sin. Say, God, this shouldn't be a sin because I like doing it. We can't do that. We need to come to God and say, God, I'm real. This is real. Okay, God, this is the problem. But God, I'm going to bring this before You right now. And God, I'm going to ask You for forgiveness. Because this is when we're real with God. We realize that He's the one that forgives us, that we've messed up. We're not God. What we think is right and wrong is not necessarily right and wrong. It's what God says is right and wrong. And He gives us the power to do what He asks. He will make what you seem to hold on to so much, He will make that seem like nothing compared to what He has for you. What He has for you, His own love, His own presence, is more than what you can imagine. You know, there's no greater high than the Most High. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek statement. You know, you say, man, but I love these drugs. I love doing this and that. But I tell you what, when you're in the presence of God, it's greater than any drug you could ever do. When you're in the true presence of God, it's greater than any other high you could possibly have. If you haven't experienced that, because we haven't gotten as close to God as we can get right now. There's more for Him. There's more for you in there. So again, we're coming to the point of magnification. Get in your light of sight. Get real. Get forgiven. Say, Lord, please forgive me, Lord, for this. Know that He does not hold it. He will not say, you can't come to me. He makes a way for you to come to Him. If you're afraid to come to God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come to Him if you have a problem. Don't be afraid to come in with Him if you have an issue with Him. Come to God, but then say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me for the distance I put. Because here, God's not trying to put distance between you and Him. God is trying to get your attention. God is calling you back to Him. God is saying, come near to me. I want to connect with you. And we're the ones playing the avoidance game. We're the ones saying, no, 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 I don't want that. But God wants to connect. So get forgiven. Number four, get resurrected. Get resurrected. Okay? Because here we come back to this point. Yes, we're forgiven. We have to look through Jesus. We have to look at God through the cross. That He's forgiven us. He died for our sins. He nailed every single one of our sins to that cross. When Jesus' hands were pierced and His feet were pierced, when the crown of thorns was put on His head, He was taking our sin upon Him. He died and paid the penalty for our sins so there would not be any more distance between us and God. He took away that. So there would not be distance that was caused from God, that was separated from God. We can come to God, get forgiven. And we need to, that forgiveness comes through the cross. So if you look at a telescope, that first lens is like the cross. You need to look at God through the cross and say, Lord, I thank You, You've forgiven me right here. And then we have this greater lens here, and that's, I look at the resurrection. If you look at a telescope, like the resurrection, you need to get resurrected. You need to realize that now you're forgiven, but now He raises you up as a son and as a daughter. Now He says, you are mine, you are loved, you are my child, you are an heir to the throne of God. You will be going to heaven. He raises us up. Don't make me sing Josh Groban. You raise me up, So you sleep. Just thought of that song. Sorry. But he raises us up, literally the resurrection, because when we get baptized in water, we say we've died with Christ and we've risen again with him. So when we get forgiven, we say, God, forgive us. Lord, we forgive. We get humbled. Then we get raised up with him. And he raises us up, our spirit up, and say, yes, Lord, I love you, God. Thank you, God, for the freedom to come to you. And we get resurrected and filled with his spirit. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Resurrected and filled with his spirit. Resurrected, say, no, I'm back up from the dead. Yes, I was disconnected, but now I'm connected with God again. I'm back with God. I'm back connected with him. It's like you've just worked out a problem with that person in your house that you had a problem with. You worked it out, and instead of just saying, okay, I forgive you, now you come back into relationship. You resurrect the relationship, right? So let's say, I think we've all had a problem with somebody in our house. I'm sure at some point in time we've dealt with somebody. We've gotten forgiveness. We've dealt with the issues, and we get to the other side, and all of a sudden the relationship gets resurrected. This is what we need with God. We need our relationship to get resurrected. It's not just good enough to be forgiven. It's great that you're forgiven, but now you need to get back into that relationship. And that only comes through that born-again spirit saying, God, I'm going to spend time with you now. I want to be with you, Holy Spirit. I want to be with you, God. Fill me with your presence. Equip me with the will and to do of your good pleasure. Help me to leave this sin behind and go forward in you. We need to get resurrected and filled with the Spirit of God. Get resurrected and filled with the Spirit of God. And then last but not least, we need to magnify him and magnify him to the point where we get beside ourselves. Magnify him to the point where we get beside ourselves. It's at that point that now you are reconnected with God. It's now at that point when you have got him in your line of sight. You got real with the issues and what's going on in your own heart and the dealing with the elephant in the room between us and God. Okay? And now we have gotten forgiven. We've gotten resurrected and filled with the Spirit. And now it's time to magnify him till we're beside ourselves. Because at that point that you can sing this song, God, you've overcome. God, you have forgiven my sin. Until you're forgiven. If you haven't been forgiven lately, we've been delusional lately. Let me say that again. If you haven't been forgiven lately, you've been delusional lately. I could just say it for the rest of the time. If you haven't been forgiven lately, you've been delusional lately. You need to be forgiven of something. Every day there are things in my life that I don't do right. And if you stop thinking that you need forgiveness, that means that we have not gotten real with our position between us and God. And we have elevated ourselves into a position that only God belongs in. Every day there's things. Every day I sit with the girls and say, girls, all right, my girls, I say, what do you need to thank God for today? Because here's another scripture that talks about in Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So I sit with the girls, and I say, girls, what do you need to be thanking God? And they can't think of something. I could have just went to let's say, Darnie Park with them, or went to go do something fun with them, and they cannot think of what to thank God for. Man, that reminds me of me. That reminds me of us and God. How many God does so much for us in our day, but yet we don't spend time to thank him for it. And likewise, I ask the girls, what do you need to be forgiven of? What do we need to ask God forgiveness for? And they seem to blank out pretty well with that too. So thank God for forgiveness, God. We can pray for other people just fine. But when it comes to thanking God and asking God for forgiveness, however, this is the process that it takes to be magnifying God. If we cannot think of what to thank him for, first of all, we've forgotten then that we've been forgiven. We've forgotten that day we needed forgiveness for something. This morning, you probably needed forgiveness for something. You probably got an attitude that you shouldn't have gone. You probably said something that you probably shouldn't have said. You probably stepped on the gas a little quicker than maybe you should have. I don't know. I'm not trying to dive in too hard into all this, but I am trying to say that we need to be forgiven. And when we do that, we get a reality. We start getting real with God and realizing, yeah, he's up here, I'm here. I need him. Yes, you have overcome. God, you made the way. You have forgiven me of the sin that I can come to you. Now all of a sudden these words start coming alive. Now all of a sudden this worship, now that's right, I've overcome. He gave me the victory. You don't understand the victory if you don't understand that we need forgiveness. But once we do that, we get resurrected, we come back relationship with God, and then we begin magnifying him, saying, God, how great you are. How great is our God. How great is our God. We begin speaking to him. We begin telling him how great he is. And guys, I want to tell you, man, to begin praising him to the point where you get beside yourself. This is what David did. He praised God to the point of getting beside himself. It says, I will get more undignified than this. He began twirling and whirling around like a madman. Why? Because he lost himself. He forgot about who he was as the king of Israel. He let go of his title. He let go of everyone who would look at him in the kingdom. I want you to think about this. Right now, we probably feel a little bit behind. You know, if I were to say, hey, let's just jump up and worship God, we'd be thinking about everybody else in this room. But how about a king who has everything on the line, who has fought wars and wars, people who have hated him, people who are looking for something against him, and here he's going to come out, twirling and whirling, looking like a fool for God. Could we do that? Could we get so beside ourselves when we forget ourselves and get so caught up in him that we just can't help but gushing on him? And it doesn't matter if it's in public. We get so caught up in that relationship, in that presence, where we just want to praise him because we realize how good he is, how much he's forgiven us, how much victory. See, here's the thing. Some of these words will connect with us. Some of these words might not that I'm speaking right now. And that's what I want to ask us. Are we disconnected with him? Are we disconnected with our relationship with him? Because, look, if you are connected, I want to encourage you to start getting your crazy praise on. Start getting undignified. Start getting beside yourself. Lose yourself. You know, I'm not going to go in and start singing any more songs. But we need, sorry, I'm thinking of a secular song. I know. But we need to lose ourselves with God. We need to abandon all of our preconceived notions and say, God, you are great. You deserve everything that I can give you. You know, sometimes I close my eyes during praise and worship, and I began thinking, man, how do I really want to worship God? And I stand here with my eyes closed, sometimes during praise, and I could just see myself. I think, man, what does God deserve right now? What does my heart really want to give God? And I'll actually picture myself praising, jumping up and down, lifting my arms up and singing with all my heart. And then I realize that's the picture God put before me. That's my spirit. That is my spirit wanting to love God more than my flesh does. My flesh doesn't want to do that. My flesh doesn't want to jump up and down and praise God, especially with all this weight on it, right? It doesn't want to be jumping up and down doing calisthenics for him. But when I get beside myself, I lose it. Now, here's the thing. We all know what this is like. Well, generally, we know what it's like. Because maybe you've had a favorite band. You ever go to a concert as a kid and you just get so excited about this concert, about this band that's up there? This band! You know, we start loving it, you know. We start waving the candles around. We start doing things, jumping jacks we never did before. How about guys at a football game or a baseball game? You see those guys at a football game, they're all painted with green and, you know, like eagles and all this stuff. They get all crazy. They get literally beside themselves. They don't care about looking like a fool. Why? Because in those scenarios, looking like a fool is cool. In those areas, looking like a fool is accepted, it's cool, it's promoted. Church, this is the place to look like a fool for Christ. Right here, Allentown of Victory. Look like a fool for Christ. It's all right. Let's get beside ourselves. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Let's magnify him to the point where we get beside, where we get a different perspective. And that's like getting a different, that's like shifting where you're at right now, saying, no, you know what? If I was the guy in Africa right now who was living in a mud hut, now look at yourself for a moment, look at everything you have compared to what this guy might have right now. Just that alone is worthy of praise to God to thank him for. I will magnify him by thanking him, but through thanksgiving. How about we start thanking God for what you have? Here's the thing, we're so into ourselves that we forget that we have running hot water where we live right now. We don't thank God, we don't think about that. But how thankful can you be? Instead of comparing yourself to somebody else that's next to you right now, let's get beside ourselves. Let's get a different perspective. Let's get, man, someone who was lost and now I'm found. God's redeemed me. I have a relationship with God that I didn't have before. And we begin praising. We begin getting beside ourselves. So look, I'm going to wrap it up right now. Did you want to say something? All right, go for it.
Thank you. in person, sometimes some people come and they're in a city like this, you know. You feel very down when people are not lifting their hands to God and you are lifting. Think what I have done in your life at that moment of time for that song. My spirit started to become free. I started to be free. The beauty of Christianity is becoming free. Once I became free, I didn't care about who was where. My God, we enjoy. It's our time. Then I get a strength to lead others. Same thing in the life. When I am in a mess and I know I can't do it, I don't perform for anybody in my life. Because nobody owes me anything. I owe nobody nothing. I am free. I owe my God. I have my God in my life. So if I have to be free, in fact, it is because I really, really believe that when we stand, it's not the worship team that sings praises to God. It is we all together sing praises to God. Lifting up our hands, shouting our voices to God. And that is what I want to share with you is, if you feel difficult at some point in time to sing with us, whatever, just let go. Forget the world. Because ultimately it is God and you. You're going to spend eternity. If you're not hoping for eternity, you're not a Christian. Christians, that is the main whole thing about Christianity. God, forget about things in our life over here. Just praise, magnify, and see things change. You will be free the instant. I've done it, and I'm living it. I know how it works. That is why I'm able to share it with you. Forget your problems of the week. Just forget it. Magnify it. Just like Pastor said. Just magnify it. Make him admit, hey, I have a big God. I don't care about you. I'm going to die tomorrow. I don't care. You know what I mean? That kind of attitude. You'll see things change.
Amen.
Then you come and give a testimony.
Amen. You know, we need to get filled up and praise him. Filled up and pour out. And so again, that's by connecting with him, by saying, Lord, fill me afresh. Get forgiven. Get resurrected and filled with his spirit and begin pouring out from his spirit. Again, how do you see, man, what does God deserve? What do you see? What could you see praise look like? What can you see? What can you imagine? Now look, I can picture some beautiful dance that I can't do any of these type of things. But, you know, my spirit wants to do more than what my physical body can do. But sometimes the Lord allows my physical body to join in with what my spirit wants to do. And sometimes I can begin praising God and let loose and let go and get beside myself a little bit. So I want to encourage you guys to, look, you know, it's about, we want to magnify him and see him exalted. And this is what our heart wants to do. So I'm just trying to show a little path that we can do to kind of get in that direction. And, you know, I have a song here that is called Undignified. I will be even more undignified than this. And I'm going to use this for a reflect song, but I want to take a moment right now, and this is our reflect time. And again, church, I want to encourage you. God, what is God speaking to you to do? And let's do something. I encourage you. I'm telling you what I'm doing from it, okay? Look, when I'm getting these messages, I'm having to apply this in my own life as well, all right? Otherwise, I really don't have the right to preach too much of this. I don't have the right to preach too much of this. In church, God's called all of us to be preaching his word, to be sharing his word with others. Not say preaching from a pulpit, but to share what God's doing in our life. So church, let God do something in your life today. Let God do something in your life this week. Take the word of God and apply it. Put some action. And ask God, God, what is it that I can do from this? Okay? I'm not saying, look, you need to go across the country. But maybe God says, I want you to pray about this. I want you in your private time to just worship and praise God. It could be that God's saying, man, I want you to read the Bible about praising him. I want you to get a picture of it. I want you to listen to this song this week. Look, it doesn't have to be this profound thing, again, of going international mission trip or something like that. It could be something simple that God's asking you to put action behind, then put continuous action. Keep praying. Lord, help me grow in this. Help me to praise you more. God, help me to deal with what I'm dealing with. So let's take a few seconds, just a moment of silence. I encourage you to get out notes to see what God is speaking to you. Write it down. It's not something I look at. Write it down and say, God, what are you speaking to me? And God, what do you want me to do from it? Let's take a few moments of silence and then let's play the song in about 30 seconds in.